Some of you will see that the scripture that is listed is receiving very heavy rotation right now, and that is not a misprint. I chose that not in consultation with my good friend, Dr. Glaspie. But I feel like it is an appropriate text on a communion Sunday. And so, as he did, since this is the gospel, I would like for you to stand while we read the gospel. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. So as I mentioned just a minute ago, Terry preached a fine sermon on this similar passage recently. The good news is I don't plan to cover the same ground he did. And the beautiful thing about your website is that I had an opportunity to actually reconnoiter everything that's going on in terms of who's been preaching and what they've been preaching on, so I didn't come into this trying to preach that message again. This is the beauty of the scriptures as they are, that there are four gospel writers. It's like there's something that happens in a street, there's an accident, and there's four witnesses on four corners. They're all going to tell that story slightly differently. And so that is my intention today. Some of you studied with were involved with InterVarsity during your college experience, and you may be acquainted with something called the inductive Bible study or manuscript study. I have a very fond place in my heart for the manuscript study. And even though it was years ago, I still use it when I do sermon preparation. The wonderful thing about the manuscript study is that it gives you an opportunity to not have a preconceived notion of what the text is really saying. So when I was introduced to this, my wife was a volunteer staffer with InterVarsity, and they did a manuscript study on the Gospel of Mark. And it was interesting because there were no chapters, there were no verses, it was just the text. And so on a given time, you would be given markers to be able to, in an allotted time, go through the passage and answer the question, what do you see? No preconceived idea. No headings. You're not going to get tipped off on what the passage is about. You actually had to look at the passage. What does it tell you? Part of the instruction was to ask, what do you see? Who's doing what and when? Rather than simply reading the gospel for basic comprehension. Part of this new way to study scripture allowed for various parts of speech to take on a new function in the telling of the story of Jesus. For example, one might learn to let the verbs do the heavy lifting and follow the action from there. In that spirit, let me pick up the action from that busy and now waning resurrection day. In the falling darkness, the companions have reached their destination and are strongly urging the curious stranger to stay for a meal and shelter for the night. In a final surprise, the guest has assumed the place of host and taken bread, blessed it, broken it, and offered it to them. In the aftermath of this encounter, they realize it was Jesus all along, confirmed by their hearts burning with recognition, but not confirmation. What happens next is worthy of special attention, and it is here we can let the verbs do the heavy lifting when we get to the words, take, break, bless, and give. My mom's aunts and uncles used to say, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Anyone ever heard that before? In the expression of our creative selves, and I know that this congregation is uber, over-the-top creative, I was here when John King actually came up with that, moving the pieces around and trying to discern what is it, when that emerged. In our creative selves, there's something unique and special about making art and creating with found objects. Making something beautiful from the serendipitous. With mixed measures of success, I'm always on the lookout for pieces for my next cigar box instrument. Those are wicked fun, by the way. And depending on the size of the box, it might be a ukulele, or it might be a 5-string fretless bass. It all depends on what emerges from the box. Some of you will object when I say an old Louisville Slugger can be cut down the middle and repurposed as a fretboard for a ukulele. Some of you might think, that's a perfectly good waste of a really good piece of ash. But God does something like that quite frequently in the person of Jesus. In the Gospels, we see Jesus using common things like fish and bread and wine and water to teach us about the nature of his way of living. Abundance, forgiveness, and provision are found in the ordinary stuff of life. A walk through a field of flowers becomes a classroom on God's supply as we consider the lilies who neither reap nor spin. And yet, not even Solomon in all his splendor was ever arrayed like one of these. Bless. The power of blessed things. The power of blessing things. The sense of this word is really saying good words over. Blessed to be a blessing. That is God's promise to Abram. Leave everything that you know and go to a land I'm going to show you because I want you to be a blessing, and I will bless you first to be able to do that. All the nations will be blessed. Offering blessing can bring about palpable change. In the course of working as a hospital chaplain, I found myself with a man who had an advanced form of cancer. His family had come to the hospital to hear the prognosis from the doctor, who had brought members of the palliative care team as support for the family, parenthetically. Palliative care is another level of care to deal with the symptoms of a life-altering disease. That's what palliative care means. The news was not encouraging for him. After a few moments of silence, the man said to me, "We haven't heard from you yet, chaplain. What do you have to say?" Knowing the patient was Catholic, I made the sign of the cross in preparation for praying for him. Instinctively, the patient, his wife, their two adult children all followed suit. The content of that prayer was lost to memory. But what I do remember is that the very air in the room changed. By making space for God, we introduced the comforting possibility of God being present regardless of the outcome of the therapy. This in turn became a form of hope for him. Break. The power of broken things. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." The last 3 years have brought about a whole lot of brokenness. We may be tempted to do that old children's game. If I can do this, right? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up. Where's all the people? I know churches that have lost 30 or 40% of their congregation that after COVID just never came back. It's hard. People have lost loved ones. We have kids who are, in the words of one church or a school counselor friend of mine, 2 years behind and socially anxious. And that's going to go on for a while. It's just a thing. I learned a while back about an ancient Japanese art form called kintsugi. And again, because there are artists among you, I'm sure some of you probably do that. So this is what I understand about kintsugi. It is taking a piece of pottery and putting it back together with an epoxy embedded with gold. The point is that the broken vessel is more beautiful when its cracks and fractures are highlighted rather than hidden. And it seems to me that one of the things as we get through COVID and all what goes on with that, I don't know that it's ever going to totally go away, but it's much different. The trajectory is different than it was before. That the only way around it is through it and just admitting that we have had loss. Give. The power of given things. Many of us have a precious item which was passed down from a relative or a friend. It might be a ring or a watch. It might be a book. There's no telling what it could be. It could be nearly anything. Some of us have benefited from the generosity of others, not just monetarily, but from a skill set or acquired insight or preserved history. It is sad when one of our churches close, especially after a long and fruitful ministry. In 2021, Sunset Covenant Church in Hillsboro concluded its ministry after 53 years in that community. Not content to allow the proceeds of the sale to revert back to the conference, which that's not a bad thing, they just had something else in mind. The church partnered with Cascades Camp to fund a new activity station at the camp. We were able to see in the selfless giving to others the love which God in Christ extends to us. As a denomination, which early on took the name Mission Friends, we have identified with the community of burning hearts. Our first benevolence was the House of Mercy in Chicago. This three-story building housed a home for the elderly on one floor, a hospital on another, and an orphanage on the third. These ministries of mercy went on to become what we know now as Covenant Living, Swedish Covenant Hospital, and Children's Home of Princeton, Illinois. Last weekend, our conference met for annual meeting in Spokane. Spokane. We never meet in Spokane. It's always someplace on the I-5 corridor someplace. So it was great to meet in Spokane. Now, by way of confession for me. I am from the 509. I grew up in Eastern Washington. And one of the things I learned living in the Tri-Cities was when it snowed in Eastern Washington, it melted in Kennewick, but it stayed in Spokane. For the longest time, the churches in Spokane have struggled, in no small part due to a freeway that was built in the late 1960s, which dissected the town, and the life from the central core slowly ebbed away. Bethel was talking about. In those days, it was First Covenant Spokane, which was one of our very first churches from the 1880s. And the other was Minnehaha Covenant, which was out in the valley. And those two churches eventually passed on. But today we have three healthy churches restoring the dignity of the homeless, welcoming immigrants from war-torn countries, offering hospitality and belonging through a coffee house with a side hustle as a church on Sundays, all the while introducing individuals and families to the love and grace of Jesus, sometimes for the first time. And if you've ever been to the Garland District in Spokane, it is fabulous. It is a little bit like the Hawthorne District in Portland without the edge. The Hawthorne is a little edgy. Just going to say that. The business conducted in Spokane was the work of discerning for a community of burning hearts. Author Ruth Haley Barton, in her book, Life Together, describes the work of discernment in this way. Discernment requires that we are able to notice when our hearts are burning with the knowledge that Jesus is near, and being curious and wondering what they have to tell us. Discernment can also be defined as the ability to recognize where God is at work so we can join God in it. At any given moment, the discernment question is, what is the work of God here in this moment, and how can I join God in it? As we transition to the Lord's Supper, we do so as the community of burning hearts, of those whom the Lord Jesus Christ has graciously revealed himself. And so, like those who go before in the life of the church, and our brothers and sisters around the world today who commemorated God's most precious gift in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that we too might be raised to new life